Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
1 week ago at this time, Shaletta Brundage, what happened?
Nobody told me that we were not having a show. Nobody told me that Chad Hartman was not on the radio. I like to keep my interactions with white men to a minimum, okay? And so I know on Fridays I've got at least two. So I measure that through the week. And there's some appointments that I didn't take because I knew that I had two white men to hang out with on Friday. So poor Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocates in Law, I couldn't go to lunch with him because I already got a deal with y'all. And I come up in there and it's the wrong two white men. It's Josh and some other guy talking about stars and stuff. And I'm standing there with Sean's homemade banana pudding for you because I know how much you love it.
I do love it.
In my car, I have paid $2.99 a gallon. I have paid to park. I have gotten out of my car, left my house and my children and my mama and daddy to bring you the banana pudding that I know you love.
I do.
And you are not there. So Lindsay Peterson was the recipient.
Yeah. I wasn't pleased with that. Can I respond to a couple of those points? I believe you did say once your parents arrived, you basically weren't going to see your kids for a couple weeks. Yes or no? Is that correct?
That may have been said.
Okay.
So
it really didn't matter that you left the kids because you really didn't see them. I also may have told you the week before, right here in studio, hey, this is our last appearance before the year is done. So
you think I listen to you? You really think when you talk, I listen?
Yeah. Next, there's a schedule that kind of lists things, which I know you're on that because I went and checked. You're on that schedule.
Yes, I am.
And then the another novel concept that you could have while you're driving down, hey, what are Chad and Dave talking about so I can react to it? And then you would have went, hey, who is this guy?
Should have seen my face when I walked in the building and I got on that elevator and I pressed 2. And I heard them talking about astrology. I almost lost it. If it wasn't for the fact that I thought we had...
It was probably astronomy. I don't know if it was astrology. You know, it could have been.
I don't know what they... I know it wasn't you. I know one thing. I know two things. I know it wasn't you. Yeah. Second thing, it was not Dave.
Yeah. Better looking or not as good looking, would you say?
I mean, y'all all look alike. I mean...
It's hard to tell the difference. It's hard to tell the difference. How was the banana pudding, by the way?
Well, you should ask Lindsay Peterson. It was delicious. I'll have to make you some more because I know how you are about your banana pudding. You have to ask Lindsay Peterson because he's the one who ate you. I'll have to make you some.
Who is going to make the banana pudding again?
I'm doing the pronoun thing. Everybody's having trouble with pronouns.
Exactly.
We're
just making up pronouns at this point. Okay. Are your parents still in town?
they are still in town because the Star Tribune is having this big thing tonight. And since I'm a columnist at the Star Tribune, I'm going. And so I asked them to stay an extra day. So they were going to leave today, but they're going to leave in the morning so that I can be with the rest of the columnists at the Star Tribune. And you were gone last week, but I don't know if you knew, but I was selected by the New York Times as having one of the best sentences of 2024. I don't know if you saw it, the billboards that I took out about it, or if you read any one of the social media posts I put up about it, but one of my columns was selected for the best.
Here's how I saw it when you sent me a text 7 times pointing out the quote. The first 5 times, I wasn't sure I got it. Times 6 and 7, I was able to see it, you know.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad she was able to make that point. Make sure.
Yeah. By the way, your candidate's lost. I don't know if it could be that great of a statement, because the two people you were talking about and the role Tim Walz was supposed to play, how'd that turn out?
Hey, man. They weren't talking about eating dogs, man. It was just, you know.
Yeah. Let's get serious here because.
Okay, what you got?
I know you knew Carrie Dziewczyk well.
Mm.
I interviewed Carrie a number of times over a number of years, and she lost her battle with cancer. She had ovarian cancer. It appeared at one point in her life that the various treatment had pushed it aside, but anybody who has cancer themselves or people close to them, you know, this is not a rare story where it can come back, and it must have come back extraordinarily strong, because it was last Saturday when Carrie Dziewczyk passed away at way too young, 62. I mean, just a sad story. And you were close to her for multiple reasons, and I know you had a chance to say goodbye. Just what do you want to say about saying goodbye to Carrie and the interactions the two of you had?
She was just a genuine person. She was a champion for all Minnesotans. You did not have to live in her district for her to help you, for her to pick up your cause. We first met in 2016 after Philando Castile died. She saw a letter that Andrew wrote to Senator Dayton. And he was talking about training for officers about how to interact with adults who have autism, because at the time, Daniel and Brandon were nonverbal. And so that touched her heart. She invited our family to the Capitol, and she enacted legislation that was signed into law to fund autism officer training for state officers. And, you know, ever since then, we just kept in touch, and we engaged, and we talked. And any time that I was doing something, she was always there to support it. First Black entrepreneurs day at the Capitol, nobody signed up to speak. I couldn't get any legislators to come because they didn't know if we were leading with light and love, we were going to torch the damn place. So they didn't want their face in the place with us because they didn't know how we were going to respond. And so she set up a meeting with Governor Walz at exactly the time of the event. And when she got to his office, she said, "Hey, let's go check out Shaletta's thing." And he was like, "Okay, let's go over there." And so they get there, and I'm like, "Oh, you coming to speak? Good." And he was looking at her, and she was looking at him, and she smiled, and I smiled, and he smiled. And so with him being there, it validated the event. She got Melissa Hortman to come, and now here we are 3 years later. Black Entrepreneurs Day is 1 month away, and we'll have 500 business owners, and every legislator, you know, at the Hill wants to speak at the event and engage with the business owners and be a part of it. And, you know, last night I was honored that her family invited me to say goodbye. And I met her sisters and her nephews and her nieces and some longtime friends. And, you know, it was so touching that, you know, everybody that I talked to said, "Oh, you're Shaletta. She loved you. She talked about you all the time." And these were people that I'd never met and had never engaged with, but they were close family and friends. And it was just a blessing to know that she loved me as much as I loved her, but she was the type of person, Chad, who required you to do more because she worked so hard, and you wanted to match that energy. And we're going to feel that loss, that leadership loss at the Capitol. Somebody who brings people together, whether you are Republican or Democrat or other, who is respected, who has authority, who people don't want to disappoint. I saw legislators, Republicans and Democrats last night crying because they understand and know that she is not somebody who you can easily replace.
Very well stated. It's I thought it was notable the number of Republicans who went out of their way to make sure the people knew Carrie Dietzick, the person, as opposed to so often it's just, okay, Republican's going to comment on Republican, Democrat's going to comment on Democrat. So on and so forth. So it's a sad story, and you talked a lot about why she did touch so many people. Let's pause. Shalette is with us. I'm going to remind you that Mike Johnson came up short in his first attempt to be Speaker of the House. The final vote was 216 votes for Johnson, 215 for Hakeem Jeffries, three other. Okay, those three all are Republicans. Mike Johnson can only lose one vote. He needs to get to 218. They are going to start the second ballot fairly quickly. We'll keep you up to date on that. We'll come back with Shaletta in moments on CCO.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to get to a number of techs who are mad at you.
Why?
And I'm going to take a first shot at, and then you can too. At the start, we were joking back and forth about you showing up last week when we took the day off. Your response then was, I try to limit my interactions with white men. Okay. There are times on this show with Shaletta where we talk about important issues related to race. We may, before this segment is done, we also joke about things. And we're allowed to joke about things. And this show is not afraid of joking about race included. We're also not afraid about talking about things on race on a station where it's been fairly white. By the way, let me note a number of other talk stations in this town which are whiter than us. And for some odd reason, that's never brought up. I don't quite get why we are mentioned as often as we are when other stations who also are talk are whiter and it doesn't come up. So if anybody thinks Shaletta was being serious at that point, take your head out of your backside. Okay? So The majority of you who are texting, I'm just going to say, you got a problem with Shaletta already. So you're waiting to get mad at her. Now, maybe you don't like her for various reasons, including some of you, and I don't know if it's the texters in particular, but some of you might just be racist. Because I can give you a long list of texts that have come here that have been flat out racist, and I've blocked people. And I've rocked dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of racist comments at Shaletta or inferences that never, ever come up when it's a guy, never come up when this female, when it's a white female, but funny, shrieking and other code words come up. So if you're afraid of serious race talk, that might happen here. But if you're also afraid of people joking about a lot of topics, which includes, you think Shaletta was really being serious, get your head out of your ass, honestly. It's just insulting. What do you want to say?
Fake outrage. Next caller.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's clutching pearls for no reason at all. And, you know, they're just outraged for the sake of being outraged. You know, if you don't want to have fun, it's Friday. It's a beautiful Minnesota winter day. The sun is shining. I don't have to take care of my kids. I'm hanging out with my friends. Then, you know, if happiness is not your choice, then you are probably listening to the wrong segment on this show.
Let's just get to a couple more texts. We don't need a little lecture from you and then an insulting word to me. It's an opinion-driven show. Individual, we sometimes do interviews, we sometimes do lighthearted topics, but when texts are coming in, which I feel like may have a racist overtone towards a very good friend of mine, I'm not going to sit off to the side. Here's another text. Can you imagine if a white female came on and only promoted white businesses? Get a clue. She just talked for 5 minutes about her great friend Carrie Diedzick and how important Carrie Diedzick was and how the world is a lesser place because Carrie Diedzick is gone. By the way, hot take, Carrie Diedzick is white. Okay, do we have individuals in our country who will celebrate, promote businesses where they don't feel like they're given equal treatment? Yeah, Shaletta is one of those individuals. But and acting like we should downplay that when it hasn't been an equal playing field for a long, long time, again, I would say you might want to look in your soul on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And, you know, I get a lot more of these lately. From people because they've been, you know, just kind of emboldened with the comments and the emails and the texts and the DMs, which I typically don't read, you know, especially, you know, now with the Star Tribune articles coming out. So I get them in several different locations. They come to the station, they go to the Star Tribune, they come here. And so it's new to the people at the Star Tribune for them to be getting this kinds of stuff. And so the one thing that I tell them that I've, you know, told our bosses at CCO Radio is these people can't get to the folks that they're really mad at. And so I'm local. You know, they can't get to Kamala Harris. They can't get to Ketanji Brown Jackson. You know, those are the black women that they're really upset about. You know, they don't want them in those positions of power. They don't want them, you know, to be on the Supreme Court. They don't want them to be running for president. But they can't get to them. So I'm, you know, I'm local. They can get to me. They can call the station. They can send a text. They can write letters to the Star Tribune. They can, you know, DM me on my website and you know, give me what they would like. Tell to me what they would like to say to Kamala Harris or what they would like to say to Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Among the texts coming in, Shaletta's amazing. It is so much for various communities. The world is a mess right now. Hold your head high. Many, many people love you. Absolutely love Shaletta. I only know her from her show on Saturday, and when she's on with you Friday, she's a huge addition to WCCO. I love Shaletta. I am not in any way saying you're not allowed in any way to disagree with Shaletta. Disagree all you want. Keep race out of it. Is it really that tough for you to do that? Because it shouldn't be. Okay, why were you riding a horse earlier this week? Okay. And by the way, I got to ask Dave, did you see it? You didn't look that skilled. I mean, I didn't feel like, whoa. I mean, she knows horses extraordinarily well.
First of all, I'm from Texas, so it's not my first rodeo, okay?
Second?
I about eighth.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, it was just so much negativity. So much going on in the world. You know, we've got New Orleans, we've got New York, we've got Las Vegas. And, you know, just up and down my timeline was nothing but bad story after bad story after bad story. And I thought, I don't want everybody to start the new year off this way. Let's do something fun. Let's find something engaging to do. And I saw Kathy Werzer on a horse. And I was like, I got Andrew's fur coat that he got at the thrift shop in St. Cloud. I bet if I found me a white horse and a white cowboy hat, I can go and recreate Beyonce's halftime Super Bowl show. And so I found a white horse, and I snuck out with Andrew's fur coat. I got me a white cowboy hat from a costume shop in Maple Grove or Maplewood Mall, right across from Maplewood Mall. And I went out to Carver, Minnesota, to a ranch. And Frankie, the white horse, was there. And Frankie had a bad attitude.
Wait, you're willing to ride a white horse? Wait, I mean, what are all these texts you're saying? I mean,
I know, my God.
Yeah,
you know.
Wow.
Well, Beyonce was on the white horse. So I was trying to stick with the bit. And so I got out there, and at first, Frankie was cooperating. Frankie was a very loving horse. We had treats initially, and he was excited to have some new friends. But after about the 30th take, Frankie had had enough.
Yeah.
And Frankie stepped on
Sounds like how the kids feel like when it's another YouTube video or something for the gram. They're like, can we just
Frankie
go home?
Frankie stepped on my foot, and I thought that it was an accident. And then Frankie took
it caused me to snort on that one. There's no doubt, Dave, it was not an accident. Frankie was like, enough's enough.
Yeah, that's plenty
then
there.
Frankie bumped me with his nose, and then he bumped into the photographer. And so Frankie starts snorting, and then we ran out of treats. And so I knew that it was time to go. So I did not get to do the entire halftime Beyonce Bowl. I probably did the first 3 minutes because Frankie was just done with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere Sean was counseling Frankie. All right, last thing before we go. Are you now wearing the fur coat? Has Andrew lost the fur coat? Because every time I click on you on the Insta, it seems like you're now wearing the fur coat.
No, I just wore the fur coat. He was asleep. We snuck out to Carver early on New Year's Day, and so he was still asleep. So I wore the fur coat to Carver, and then I tried to sneak it back in. But I think somebody told him that I had the coat because he didn't really talk to me or looked at me. I tried to put it back in his room. So now the coat smells like McDonald's French fries because he wears the coat to the drive-thru. And it smells like a horse barn. The people in Cottage Grove are just like literally going through the drive-thru so they could see him in a fur coat. Like this lady was like, I saw your son, and he. I asked him if you were his mom, and he just walked away. I don't know if she ever got her order. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
It smells like poop and old French fries. Oh my God, Dave, that seems like a coat you really want to wear.
Yeah, it sounds delightful.
Jeez,
bring that on a date.
All right, are you on tomorrow?
I am on tomorrow,
Stunningness.
And I am talking to Eric Roper at the Star Tribune. He's got this new podcast. Apparently, he and Tane Danger bought this house. It's from the 1900s. It was owned by an older black couple, and he's found all these artifacts and all this history, and he started a podcast about it. So I'm going to have him on. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law is going to be talking about the new laws that have gone into effect in Carrie Dietzick's seat. And then I'm also going to be who the hell is I got on there? Somebody else. Anyway, I got lots of fun stuff. So y'all just got to tune in. 12 to 3.
Thank you.
Love ya. Bye.
Shaletta, 32 past 1 here on WCCO. Mike Johnson wins. An impressive day for the former and soon-to-be Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. The first ballot initially was 216 for Johnson, 215 for Akeem Jeffries, and three individuals, Massey, Norman, and self, who voted for other Republicans. Well, they had a break of about an hour, and Ralph Norman and Keith Self switched their votes to Mike Johnson. So, whether you like it or not, Dave Harrigan, Mike Johnson deserves praise. He had no margin. Once Representative Massey came out and said, I'm done with him. Dead to me. I'm not voting for him. I want someone else. And he couldn't lose a single vote. And he loses two. And right now, I don't think we have enough reporting to know if there was some horse trading. If Norman and what was it again? I'm forgetting the gentleman's name. Hang on a second here. Self, if they ended up getting anything, my gut says it was such a quick amount of time Dave, I think they got nothing. That's my guess. Nothing. As I'm giving a little bit of a...
Nothing.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unless they had it set up. I mean, they could have spoken with
they
Johnson, you know, days ago and said, look, here's the thing. We're not going to vote for you.
Yeah.
Unless... And
we'll
okay,
see.
Well, you get this. We're still going to vote once.
Yeah.
Make our point, and then we'll be in your pocket.
My guess is they wanted to draw attention to themselves.
No, that wouldn't happen.
I know this will shock you.
Come on, Chad.
But good luck with the job, by the way. You now have this extraordinarily slim margin because you have 219 Republicans, you have 215 Democrats, you have a president who feels like he has a mandate. You have a president who's going back for a second time, feeling like he's going to do couple things, including he's going after enemies, and he wants to change the country dramatically. And he does have a narrow margin in the House and Senate in his favor, but it's extraordinarily narrow. And some of those votes, by the way, you need 60%. So the new rules, by the way, which they've approved, this is a huge win for Johnson. These were already approved a few days ago. Now you need 9 members of Congress to vote to vacate the speaker. So whoever was going to be the speaker gets an enormous advantage on what McCarthy and Johnson had last time when it was 1.
Yes.
When
you
now
get Gates straight out.
Yeah. Now it's 9, so that's a better advantage. So we'll see if we get major potentially. I don't know. You'll have to talk to them by wrong committee. Because it could potentially butt up against the Am I Wrong committee for a second time in like 3 weeks.
Well, you know, Major can join for Am I Wrong.
Yeah, he could.
I'm sure he'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
He probably listens to it, I assume.
Probably.
You know, it's very, very popular among the politicos.
Let's talk alcohol. Let's talk the outgoing Surgeon General. Does he continue to wear the outfit even when he's no longer the Surgeon General?
The kind of military-ish mm-hmm. look jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you get to keep that.
Do people call him General a lot? And then, if he's around another, this could have been a curb, right? If you had the Surgeon General there and a regular general, and they're going general. And then the Surgeon General is responding, and then the other general's going, get out of here.
Maybe you just call him Surge.
I'm a general. No, I'm kind of like the great one on The Survivor. You saw that
that's
one, right?
That's right.
Cody from the Survivor series is like, what a tough it was. And meanwhile, I forget the guys. It's Larry's dad's friend who survived a Nazi death camp. I'm a survivor. No, I'm a survivor. It's such a great point.
Well, the Am I Wrong committee has spoken about the Surgeon General before. And let me remind you, the policy of the committee.
Yeah.
If you're the Surgeon General, you better be doing surgery.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Seems like it.
Once a week, you have to perform at least a minor surgery.
And you should come out like Dr. Oz wearing smocks.
Yeah.
So, when he's the head of Medicaid, Medicare, is he still going to be coming out there like he was on the Dr. Oz show wearing the smocks?
I hope he comes out and does a press conference leaving the OR covered in blood and muck. Yeah, I just did a transplant.
That'd be good. Okay, so... the Surgeon General is telling us, I think what we all know, I got to be honest, alcohol is a leading preventable cause of cancer. And then adding, I mean, do we all know that?
Did we?
Okay.
I'd say no.
We've had conflicting views on small amounts of wine in particular.
Red wine.
Red wine. I may have had that last night. Maybe not small amounts, but I may have had red wine.
Antioxidants. You're getting your dose.
Yes. So if people want to say we've had conflicting testimony or presentations or papers saying, hey, sometimes a small amount of wine is good for you, sometimes not, I get it. But don't we know that excessive alcohol is not good for you? Is this breaking news?
I think we know it's not good for you, but I think specific to cancer, I don't think that's been talked about a lot. When you think cancer, you think smoking, think, you know, now we think of processed meats and all the stuff that's in those. But I don't think people in general made a big connection between alcohol and cancer.
Yeah, I guess I did, but who knows? We have a debate on that, obviously. So the Surgeon General wants a warning label. Everybody listening, do you want a warning label
on your alcohol to further convince people to give thought to what you're doing. Will it have any effect? If, and by the way, it has to be approved by Congress, right? Surgeon Generals, whoever, and I forget the name of the new Surgeon General coming in with President-elect Trump. They can offer up recommendations, but Congress still has to vote for it, and the president has to sign off on it. So, do you want this, and would it have any effect? Part of what Dr. Murthy said, alcohol directly contributes to 100,000 cancer cases and 20,000 related deaths each year. He called for updating the labels to include heightened risk of breast cancer, colon cancer, and at least five other malignancies now linked by scientific studies to alcohol consumption. Part of what he added. This is the outgoing Surgeon General. Many people out there assume that as long as they're drinking at the limits or below the limits of current guidelines of one a day for women and two for men, that there is no risk to their health or well-being. The data does not bear that out for cancer risk. Now, the story points out, at least the one I'm looking at here, because there are a lot of Republicans who are fairly libertarian, and there's a lot of center-left folks who are fairly libertarian, like, you know, stay away, government, you don't need to do this. But you do have a president who doesn't drink at all and talks about losing a family member. And Donald Trump doesn't belabor it, but when he's asked about it, he'll say, yeah, I don't think drinking's good for you. I don't drink. And I think it's a problem for a lot of people. You have Robert Kennedy Jr., who no longer drinks, who was very involved, he's admitted, with all sorts of drugs. And he's, if he's approved, by the way, if he's approved, buckle up, all of us. He never, ever, ever should be approved. If he's approved, he's the head of Health and Human Services Department. So maybe they, because I would think normally Republicans, I'd say, come on, you're overreaching. Maybe they would be for it. Dave Harrigan, do you want a warning label on alcohol as soon as it could be passed by Congress? Do you think it should happen?
I don't have a problem with it.
How come?
If I believe the numbers, I believe then that there is a connection, and whether it's cancer or, you know, all the other issues that alcohol can cause, if there's one more reminder, if there's a label on your next six pack you buy or your bottle of Jack, whatever it is, that says, hey, just so you know, cancer, whatever it is, you know, the alcohol can lead to these problems. If you want to go to the liquor store and still buy alcohol, nothing's stopping you.
Yeah, he's not calling for.
We're not banning.
Yeah,
which, you know, just
this isn't prohibition.
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's just a one more reminder that's saying, hey, just so you know, this is what you're doing to your body. It's legal. You can go ahead and buy this product, but you know, if I'm going to the store to get whatever I want, I don't drink a ton, but I drink some. Yeah, I'll see the label and I'll say, yeah, okay.
I'm hesitant on this one because I feel like people know, but what Dr. Murthy is saying, part of what he was pushing today is the risk for cancers, breast, mouth, and throat, may rise with as little as one drink a day, even less, he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, more from the Surgeon General, one of every six breast cancer cases is attributable to alcohol consumption. That's pretty high. That I had not heard
yes,
being that
is.
High, right? Most recent studies have found have also linked moderate alcohol consumption to certain forms of heart disease, including atrial fibrillation and also heart arrhythmia. It wouldn't be something where I would think it's outrageous. My first instinct is no, because I don't think of it as quickly awful as cigarettes, the other comparison. And again, I'm not one for banning cigarettes, but I think the warning made sense, was appropriate, and has had an effect. Do you think if they went, let's ask this question, and I want you to answer, then I want other people to chime in. Do you want a warning label on alcohol, on wine, on beer, on whiskey, you name it, we can go down the list, as the outgoing Surgeon General does? Do you think it's a very good idea? Do you think it's a terrible idea? You want no part of it? And if it happened, would it have any sort of significant effect? Not minor, not normal, but a significant effect on individuals to slow or maybe eliminate their drinking. Phone calls would be great. Texts would be great also. 651-461-9226. 51 past 1. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to save on home insulation by getting a $500 discount on your project. That sounds pretty good. Who wouldn't want $500 off the project?
I'd take that.
I would take that. Okay, we're talking about alcohol. The Surgeon General, who will soon be the former Surgeon General, because you get to pick your guy when you win. Do you think if the label is affixed, let's say the label, Congress jumps in, and in 2 years, we have a label pointing out the warnings, the dangers, the hazards of drinking alcohol. Do you think 5 years after that, we will see some sort of significant reduction in drinking in America? Because that would make the label effective, right?
Mm-hmm. 5 years might be a little quick.
Okay.
But I definitely think over time, absolutely yes.
Yeah.
I think we've seen it with younger generations now. Been plenty of talk in the news over the last few years about younger folks are just not drinking as much as the older generations, the boomers, Gen X, et cetera. You know, the rise of the mocktails, you know, all the non-alcoholic drinks you can get at bars, you can get in liquor stores.
Let me just jump in. Would that be the case that you don't need the label? Because it's already happening somewhat organically here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. And I think the label itself calling out cancer, I could definitely see that being the Surgeon General probably looking at society, looking at American society, saying, how do I get a label on alcohol? Because I think our country is perhaps a little bit too wet, the Surgeon General might be thinking. A little bit too much of a love affair with alcohol. Well, I can't have a label that just says drinking too much is a problem. Congress is never going to go for that. What if I link it to cancer? What if I bring that up?
Among the texts coming in about the warning, you are right. We all know that drugs are hazardous. When people sue because of cancer, they can be told, well, you were told. Is there a litigious part of this where, hey, guess what? It's right there. Don't act like you weren't informed. I guess for some, it would be. No one is going to pick up a bottle in liquor store. I'm reading your text here. It's 651-461-9226. And not buy it because of some new warning in the label. Same as cigarettes. Well, we know there's a variety of reasons why cigarette consumption has dropped dramatically. But to act like the label hasn't played a part or even a significant part, I personally just think it's wrong. Don't you?
It has to have played a part. How big is up for anyone to decide, but to pick up that pack of cigarettes and every time you pick it up, see that label staring you in the face, has to play at least a small role.
Well, again, we've had the conversation because there are other countries where the label is bigger.
It's massive.
And, I mean, it shows people dying in bed,
yes,
or racked by emphysema.
Yeah, the wording itself will just be cancer or smoking kills.
Yeah. More texts. No matter. There are only two occasions when I use alcohol. This is a texter here. When I'm alone or when I'm with somebody. Those are the totally two. It's very funny. More texts. I appreciate the text coming in. Lots of things contribute to cancer. We put warning labels on processed meats, cleaning products, gardening products. Where does it end? What about that part of the conversation, the slippery slope? conversation.
Well, there's, I mean, that's 100% true that you could put warning labels on a million different things. And Adam said it this morning. I heard him driving in as he was talking about this very subject of, you know, he didn't want a warning label on alcohol. He thought it was ridiculous and said, you know, we should first look at the food we eat in America if you're worried about what causes cancer. And yeah, a lot to be said about that.
It's fair. The comeback I say often is I worry, and am I consistent in this? I hope, but not all the time. I'm not. That if we start eliminating things because of a slippery slope, we lose the conversation about what we're talking about. And if we don't do something because we haven't solved every other issue, then what really are we going to do?
Yeah, just because booze gets a warning label doesn't mean hot dogs have to as well.
More texts. I've been sober for 1 year, so yeah, big yes label. Congratulations. The Surgeon General is doing his job. I've lost a number of friends that have died from cancer, clearly caused by excessive alcohol. Because of that, I've been sober. That's the same person. I'm reading all your texts here, no problem with it. I don't drink anyways. Well, yeah, if you don't drink anyways, you know, doesn't really affect you much. Let's see. Honestly, what doesn't cause cancer this day and age?
The difference here is what the Surgeon General is trying to show us, how even a small amount causes it versus the excessive part. I think that's the big difference.
Matthew Caller on the big game on Sunday night.
Huge game.
It is. Biggest regular season Vikings game since when? I mean, there were others they had to win to get in the playoffs. But this is win, and you are the number one seed, and you get the break versus you're the fifth seed. So it's large. Caller, early next hour.